Welcome back to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is the movie Mission Impossible. 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Scott.
And we're all back here for a Friday episode. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
We finally going to get on this elevator or what?
God, I hope so.
Well, this minute starts with the Marine checking the ID of Sarah and Senator Walzer. And at the end of this minute, they are in the elevator, Scott.
All right. There we go. About time.
But they don't go anywhere in this elevator.
Well, they're in the elevator. That's something.
Good enough. You've moved this elevator forward.
Yeah. Wait, elevators don't move forward.
What?
And the American consulate here, the embassy in this area, they do.
Oh, okay.
This minute has proven one thing emphatically, and that's that all spies wear glasses.
Apparently.
If you look at this minute is when Sarah Davies is actually wearing, she puts on a pair of glasses, I guess to get out her ID and hand it to the Marine. The senator's wearing glasses. Jack's wearing glasses. Hannah's wearing glasses. Mm-hmm. We can assume Claire, who Scott hasn't even seen this week, is wearing glasses.
Phelps isn't wearing glasses, though.
Phelps is not wearing glasses.
He's not a team player.
No.
Oh, Scott, do you know something that we don't know?
Like I said before, I don't trust Angelina Jolie's dad, so.
I hope nothing happens to star of the movie, Emilio Estevez.
That's what we're all worried about now.
Nothing's going to happen to him. He's fine. He's got a team of, he's got a little league hockey team to coach. He's got stuff to do. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. That's good to know. Yeah. This scene also, we were talking about before, the music in this part has become insane. For lack of a better term.
It's gone Danny Elfman insane. Like Danny Elfman 90s insane. Mm-hmm.
They're trying to blend hijinks and tension at the same time.
Yeah.
And there are some crazy sounds coming out. And I'm definitely tense because this music is scaring me.
It's like a Danny Elfman remix. It's bizarre.
It is really weird. They do at the end of the minute, though, it does resolve itself into the nice theme song moment.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the minute, and it resolves really well, but there's just some crazy, like, I don't know what it's called when you hit a violin really hard, like just plucking, not plucking it, but like hitting it with the violin bow,
mm-hmm.
and it's making some crazy plunking noises, and there's lots of weird sounds coming out right now. What's happening on screen, other than in our ears, is the Marine has gone back into his closet with the robot man, and the robot man and he are looking at a monitor as the fingerprints continue to scroll through, and Jack is furiously hacking the database to put Sarah Davies' information into the computer.
It doesn't even look like I will say I am impressed with the way that hacking is being depicted in this movie, because most of the time when you see hacking in a movie, it's just a black screen and white or green letters, and they're just furiously typing a bunch of, you know, gibberish, and that's supposed to be doing something. And here it's just like, yeah, no, I hooked into the thing and I'm uploading her. Like, you see it all very clearly what he's doing. You know, he's uploading her identification into their system. It's not, you know, movie hacking. It seems at least somewhat legitimate. Like, it looks like, yeah, that's probably what that would really look like, I guess.
It does look real. The only problem is, and I noticed this earlier, mm-hmm. he uploads Sarah Davies, alias Sarah Davies. Her name's Miss Norman.
Whoops.
Her name in this scene 3 minutes ago was Miss Norman. And they upload Sarah Davies. And he's like, yep, got her ID right here. Sarah Davies.
Whoopsies.
I was like, no. I went back and listened and watched both minutes again. It's minute 13 and then this minute. I was like, there's no way they made that mistake. Yeah, she's called Miss Norman. And even in the script, she's Miss Norman at this point.
Hmm. Well, is this... does the ID that she hands them, is that Miss Norman, or is that her actual Sarah Davies ID?
It has to be her Sarah Davies ID, because the name Sarah Davies comes up on the database as a match.
Right. Yeah. So it must be.
And her ID is a government ID, you know?
Is it a government ID for America, though? It doesn't look American.
No, it doesn't, but it's got a symbol on it, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, it looks like it's got like a Freedom Eagle. Yeah. Symbol kind of thing on it. So maybe it's like a CIA kind of ID.
It's probably, well, it's probably an embassy logo or whatever. Oh,
right.
That makes sense. Because she's her, you know, because she's the one supposed to be showing the senator around. Here we go back to this plan. She's supposed to be showing the senator around. Because I guess there's no other way to get the senator. Okay. Can we back up, please? Because I don't understand why the senator even has to be there. There. I said it.
Yeah.
I don't understand this part of the plan. Why do we need the senator? Is the tour of the restricted area the plan to get down there?
Yes.
All right. it's not strong.
No.
I got to be perfectly honest. The fact that Sarah Davies is 33 is making me feel really bad about my life. She's, you know, a semi-impressive CIA agent.
They get him young, I guess.
That's hurting my soul a little bit. Anyway, carry on.
Do you feel like you've spent too much time doing podcasts?
Maybe.
And not enough time in your spycraft?
I'm rethinking my life. All of the I did see so Sarah's code level is code level green. Which, here's what I love about this. It's at the very bottom. So it says C/level:\CodeL green. So it says code level twice, but it abbreviates a different word each time.
We had this happen on some of the other dossiers that we've seen already in the movie. There's some lazy writing going on, because no one ever thought this is going to go into a digital platform and someone's going to be able to look at this frame by frame.
Right.
Heaven forbid, minute by minute. So, yeah, I think some of it's just in there as like literally so your eye just has something to eat as you're watching it really quickly.
Right.
But when you pause it, you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there's some gibberish in there. There's a word that looks like Pennsylvania, but it's a bunch of random symbols. I don't know. I can't make heads or tails of that, but yeah, that Sarah Davies thing, I didn't catch that doing my notes, and that's a problem. That's not good.
I like to walk out and go, I'm sorry, man, but didn't you say your name was Mrs. Norman? This ID's for Mrs. Norman. And it came up as Sarah Davies, and I'm like, oh, Jack, what have you done?
he's blown the mission.
Yeah, in this scene, what's happening with Jack is uploading this, and they start to badmouth Jack. In the hypothetical that Jack is someone that used to work for the senator and that he was a lazy person. And then the senator confesses to either torturing or killing this hypothetical Jack by dragging him around his barn for a couple of days.
with stallions.
He tied him to a stallion and dragged him around my barn for a couple of days.
Yeah.
What? This isn't witty banter. Also, no one's there listening to this. The Marine has walked back into the other room.
No, they're just talking to each other, and specifically to Jack, apparently.
Right. I understand that, but it's supposed to be covered. They're supposed to be covering, you know, like as if a senator and his liaison would be talking while someone's double-checking their ID. But no one's in the room listening to them speak, because both of those guys have gone back into their cubbyhole to look at the video screen to make sure that they've been okayed. It's crazy. I love it. I love it.
Now I'm watching as he uploads the Sarah's information from his computer, and it looks like he's got like a bunch of apps at the bottom, and one of them is the CNN app. Am I seeing that correctly?
Yeah, it looks like it. I thought that too.
I'm like, what the? He's got like folders and, you know, like all sorts of other stuff. It looks like a printer maybe, and CNN. CNN.
You've got a lot of downtime when you're, you know, waiting for the elevator to get out of the way and, you know, watch some CNN.
Yeah, this is not the only time Jack has been stuck in an elevator shaft.
Yeah. Far
he
from
knew
it.
His way around that elevator shaft pretty quickly. He scurried up that wall like a lemur.
It is not the first time, and I mean, guys, it's not like it'll be the last. He's the protagonist of the movie.
Yep. Yeah. He is going to have a lustrous career of being in elevators for the next five movies. I can't wait to see it.
Many elevators will be touched by Emilio Estevez in the future of this franchise.
One of the things I was looking at also, what on earth are the security guys looking at? Is that a MacBook they're on? Is that a tablet? I can't tell what they're holding it now. Before it was just laying at an angle, so I thought it was like the top of a MacBook. Now, when I see it in their hands, he's holding it as if it's a tablet.
But it's attached to the TV monitor, so. It's like, yeah. I think it's a portion of things, and he just seems to have his hand laying on it.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's a giant honking kiosk.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. It's a kiosk, yeah.
Oh, I see. If I pan back, yeah, it is a kiosk.
Yeah.
Because we do another one of those De Palma push-ins, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally do get a match. So Sarah Davies is in the system, which is, as we know, not correct, but yay, she's in the system.
She's in there. Close enough. It'll get her in the elevator. It's fine.
So all of that security, and I guess now the elevator will open for them. So by putting her in there, those security guys have no control over the elevator.
No.
But her being in the system is what unlocks the elevator to open.
Right. Which they need to be there to observe it happening for some reason.
We're going to go back to the fact of why we don't understand why these gentlemen are here, why they're in a room, why they're by themselves,
why they stare at doors,
why the door is closed.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
They should have like a little desk. You're right. They should have a little desk in front of the elevator with the scanner.
Yeah. That officer should be, and that Marine should be in his uniform standing next to it because
Bad filmmakers.
I rag on this movie a lot, especially on this podcast, but I love it so much. Yeah. But this plot is driving me nuts because this it's the little details that you notice in minute by minute.
I think sometimes with movies like this, they do stuff just because it visually looks cool when you're watching the movie and they don't think critically about what they're actually presenting to the audience. And then we go back and we're watching, we're really like tearing it apart. And it's just, you know, it's not meant to be watched like this.
No.
I mean, yeah, because everything's in focus. Everything's where it should be. Right. Everyone's costume looks fantastic. We're not talking about all the great stuff. Set design, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The kiosk UI, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks great. It's just we don't understand on a basis of why would you put these people in this room? it shouldn't be observed this way.
No, definitely not.
We should just stop this podcast and go home and never talk about this again.
Why are the photos why is the kiosk flipping through the photos like it's the Michael Jackson black and white video?
Yeah, they're morphing, aren't they?
Yeah, they're morphing instead of just flipping through images. Like, why?
I think
is
the problem is
that
a lot of them just have a black background. There's one gentleman that comes up with white background, but everybody else has a black one, and I think it's just a trick, you know, of they're just fading in each picture.
Oh.
It's again back to the production design of it.
Yeah. But it does look like they're morphing.
It does.
That's which is strange. Also hey, it looks cool.
That whole sequence though cost them like $2 million in 1986 money.
Oh, I wonder how much it cost to create all these, cuz all these things, I mean, they didn't create them in 96. Didn't have Photoshop existed, but it was rudimentary. And you didn't have any of the editing stuff. So this probably had to be built on film.
Oh, yeah.
And then put onto a tape. And then that tape had to be played.
Mm-hmm.
And it's linear. And they have to go back and rewind it when they do the shot again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's exhausting.
Yep. Now it's just a green screen on set. And they plop in whatever CG they want.
Yeah. And they match. Yeah. Cause this is definitely on the screen because it looks, I mean, their pictures don't look good.
No.
If this was today, it would look crystal clear. You'd be like, oh yeah, that's cool.
So they've made their way into the elevator finally.
Yes. Scott's moment has happened. They have finally made their way.
And they proceed to look up at Jack because he can be seen apparently from the inside of the elevator, which is not a really good plan.
What if somebody else had been there? What if the Marine had said, can I escort you down? Or I'm going to escort you down.
I don't know. How much, how often do you look up in an elevator?
Not often enough, apparently.
Yeah, that's true. Emilio Estevez could be up there.
He's probably still up there. That is true.
Possible.
You're right. This movie is all about not looking down at the steps and not looking up in the elevator.
I do want to say, I guess before we wrap up my stint here, I remember seeing this when I was this was 96, I think I was in fifth grade, and my dad actually took me out of school early to take me to go see this.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, so he took me to go see this, and my friends and I were just completely obsessed with this movie. This was all we ever played on the playground as like 11-year-olds. I had a friend.
Oh, you played Senator trying to get into elevator with Marine, keeping you from getting in?
Yeah, basically. My friend Chris, we would start out sort of like our play Mission Impossible with him pacing back and forth as he gave us our mission.
Okay.
And then we would like go and execute our mission. Like it really, I mean, at the time, obviously it's a bunch of 11-year-olds like pretending they're in a grown up movie. But, at the time, like I was like, man, this is cool. We're cool.
I think we need to go out and do that now. I think we need to go out and make a short of 11-year-olds playing at Mission Impossible.
Like, yeah. Wait, why can't it just be us?
We're not 11-year-olds anymore.
I don't care. I want to be a spy.
I think I was 21 or 22 when this came out.
So. Yeah, we were old.
I was old. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we were old when this came out.
Yeah,
yeah. I was still a really, really little kid. You know, dancing the Macarena at the at the elementary school dance.
Nice.
Yeah. So. But yeah, no, I remember me and my friends were just completely obsessed with this movie and we talked about it a lot and for years until finally Mission Impossible 2 came out. That's a story for another season, I guess. But,
you can always tell your stories. It's all good. It's all good.
but yeah, no, this movie, I don't know. There's something about this movie in particular that just, it definitely has a different tone. And I mean, a lot of that has to do with De Palma, but just the spy stuff is just, like I said at the beginning of the week, it's more of a political thriller. And I find that really interesting. And if they ever do continue the franchise beyond Tom Cruise, I would love to see the franchise go back to its roots a little bit. Just to see what a political thriller Mission Impossible would look like today.
Yeah, I agree.
It would be interesting to have something that dealt with spycraft and not in the tech world, not in a tech way.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I'd like to see a version of it where, you know, we're not, you know, having them go rogue again or have them being hunted down by the government. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see them actually being the Impossible Mission Force doing missions.
Right.
From film to film.
With all the background and all the money and all the funding and all the backup they need. Which we get a little bit of in Ghost Protocol, the beginning, we get a little bit of that.
Right. Yeah. It's sort of become,
firing on all cylinders.
It's sort of become their version of the Enterprise blowing up.
Yes. Somebody's hunting them down again.
Yeah. Now you don't have any of your resources. What are you going to do? We're going to do what we always do. We're going to climb a building or go swimming in a thing and save the day because that's what we always do.
Well, 10 this week, let's go over both our tech of the app and then we're also going to try and figure out what do we think the tech of the week was. There are a lot of strong contenders. Mine for this episode is going to be that amazing thumbprint recognition again, but this time with Sarah Davies' information in it, which is incorrect. So I think it negates itself as Tech of the Week because Jack uploaded the wrong file.
Well, I know, but that's not the
the tech's fault.
The tech's fault. That has nothing to do with the tech. That's Jack's fault. User error.
That's human error right there, man.
Yeah.
All right. Then I'll give it. Let me go back then. I think the tech of the tech of the app for this episode is going to have to be, gosh, Jack's glasses. For me, because there's such a smear on his ability to upload the correct file, so he almost blows this entire mission.
Mm.
What about you, Scott?
I'm gonna have to give tech the app to Tom Cruise's Southern accent.
Oh yeah, he sounds just like I don't know who.
Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah,
I have a Southern accent, and it's. That accent's a little insulting.
I'm going to go with tech of the episode being being the tech who had to create all of the tech for it. The poor guy, a girl or team that had to create everything for this movie.
Yeah, that's a strong one for this one because this week they definitely had a lot of screens that had to be shown, exactly. Especially all the way from Monday with Jim and his screens with everybody's video feeds on it, all the way through this one.
Yeah, with Jack's little laptop that's got CNN on it as an app of some sort.
Yep. All right, so let's quickly do this, see if it works. The tech of the week. The tech of the week is just where we decide what tech that we saw all week, which one wins. If you had to definitively say this is my favorite tech from the entire week, what would it be? Chris?
Like I said, I'm going to go with all the people who – created the tech for this film because it's
so that's your tech of the week. You think the entire week is just
I would say either that or again the Steadicam glasses. I'm gonna go back to Steadicam glasses as a filmmaker.
Those glasses are you voted for those glasses twice,
exactly. So those obviously are my tech of the week. There you go.
All right, what about you, Scott?
I gotta give it to the spray. I love the stupid spray. It's great. It's just great. It's so funny because it's kind of low tech, but I it's the spray in conjunction with the glasses. I think that whole process, the whole tagging process is, I love it.
Yeah. My tech of the week is probably going to have to be the thumbprint, database. It was the strongest thing. And as you guys said, it's the only thing that didn't make a mistake. It did its job.
I feel like Mission Impossible fans are really going to be mad that we're not given as much love to the gum as.
Oh my God, we didn't even bring up the gum.
I know.
We haven't seen the gum in action yet. So.
That's true. There's another chance for the gum to come back around maybe later.
It's a hypothetical right now. Right. So I've seen the other things in action. So the gum is going to have to stay on the back burner until I see it used. And then I have a feeling it's going to be definitely tech of the week. If we take all three of those guesses, three of our answers, I actually don't think mine's as strong as Scott. I love Scott's convictions. It's not just because he's our guest.
I agree.
I love the fact that he loves that stupid spray so much.
I love it. It's the best.
It's also the most practical.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, anyone can carry it around and it won't ever set off any alarms because it looks like Banaka. That's probably something they had at that time.
God, imagine going to a theme park with your kids and you spray your kids' heads with that. So then if they get lost, you could always see them like across the park. Because you're going to wear sunglasses anyway. It's an amusement park.
Scott, you've really thought this out, man.
So many purposes.
I love it. All right. So for our inaugural Tech of the Week, winner is going to be fluorescent spray.
and blue blocker glasses, because you have to have both. Yeah. Then it comes a pair.
Oh man, blue blocker. Wow. A blast from the past. Man, I remember those infomercials. My dad had a pair of those.
My dad has a pair of glasses right now. He looks like he was on the TV show V. They don't even have a bridge. They're just one giant piece of glasses. I'm like, you good with those? He's like, oh, I love them. I'm like, all right. All right. So that's a great place to wrap this week up. Scott, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. This was fun.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd like to say for your last plug?
I mean, go check out everything we do over at duelinggenre.com. I also have an original podcast series that I created and write with Nick Jimenez, and it's called Geek by Night, and it's about like geeky friends who run a comic book store together and then get superpowers, and what it's like to have superpowers when you are that type of person, which, you know, there's no woe is me, why do I have these powers? It's more like, look at the cool stuff I can do. It's all about earnest fun, and I'm quite proud of it. So go check that out if it sounds like something you'd be into.
Awesome.
Very cool. Sounds good.
You can always contact us at Men Impossible on Twitter, MIN Impossible. And we're also on Facebook at Impossible Mission Force. Nope. We're at the Impossible Minute Force. It's always a pun with us. We love puns over here. So we will see you next week, and we'll have another guest. Scott, thanks again for coming. And
thank you.
You're welcome. I've been Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
And I am Scott.
This minute will self-destruct.